suggestion, I see.
Yeah, it seemed like it would, like, I need one of these, because I just have one.
I don't, well, they don't really fit, so.
Yeah, I did the same thing, I bought the box, but then it didn't fit.
Can I take a quick poll? How many of you are not going to be paid? So how many of you are either Jeff's work study, or you're using this for service hours, service disparity hours, anything like that? One, two, just three, right? Is that everybody? Do you have more work study students? That's everybody, okay. I mean, one, two. Okay.
No, this is it.
That's it. And so then there are six of you then who are paid.
So, Ajua, you're not using this for service disparity?
I have that. But when I emailed Dr. Ortiz, he was like, I emailed him to talk to you about it, and he emailed me back saying, just write up a paragraph how this will help you become an expert in serving an underserved population. And I didn't know, because I don't know anything about the child, you know, that we're going to be using. So I found something else to do, which he said was fine.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can just do this for...
Well, I mean, what I had asked you to do was to tell him that you have to stay blind to the particulars of this patient.
That's
and
what
that
I
he
told
could
him.
You did tell him that.
Yeah, I told him that. I said I have to be blind to the characteristics of the child, but Dr. Goodman said you can just talk to him and then he'll tell you, and that's what he responded with. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't really know what to do then, so I just chose something else.
That's fine. I mean, if you have the time and
it's fine. I still want to do
work,
it.
You know, yeah.
And if you have the money.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah. I mean, we'll look it up.
I'll do it.
And we'll see. I mean, at this point, there's nine people, so once we divide the teams, we'll see what's going on with that.
Well, Leia's just here for the fun of it. Now, if we need her, she's on standby, essentially. So.
You're on standby. So you're sort of our pinch hitter.
She's but like the first alternate. How's
she's
that?
The first alternate. So you're not planning on, if everybody else is planning on doing it, you're not planning on...
Well, I want to have access to the data set.
I see.
That would be my biggest motivation. Yeah. If I get paid, that would be great, but if not,
I'm happy to give you access to the data set. Definitely. And to become more familiar with the measures. That's great. Okay, good. Because if we're thinking about sort of pairing, we need an even number, so then five paid. Okay.
And as we're making this decision, like I also was bringing up with Jeff like earlier, that I kind of need to decide in terms of how many training sessions we're going to do, because every time I spend $10. So if I'm doing it, you know, to sort of make money, every time it's $10 for me, if we do 10 of them, that makes, you know what I'm saying?
With
like I'm working the hours and for the train, like then, you know what I'm saying? If we're making a couple, two, three, whatever, like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No big deal. You know what I'm saying? But we'll have to see how we go and in terms of that. So if you have options of people that don't have this problem, and you rather go with that, or if you and you're not needing everybody, I'm just throwing it on the table in terms of like it is a factor for me. Is it?
What I said to Sylvia was that we can't predict how long.
And I understand that. And I understand that.
And Sylvia, you'll let me know if this gets.
So Jennifer, I need.
But I really want to help,
Wants to start. I'm ready. Sylvia wants to start.
I can print it out.
She's very excited.
Very excited and very poor.
Okay. All right. So it's just because I'm applying for a grant. I just need to know how many people are going to pay.
You should tell them that. If Sylvia wants to start as soon as possible, I get the grant, I would write that down.
That has nothing to do with the grant application.
I think it's supposed to write that down.
I'll write the grant how much all the coders love coding.
They don't care. They need to know how much money I need.
You know what I'm saying?
I just did like gotcha. Really good. That's why it's a pro spot.
Yeah. See how much
I'm you're giving me the actual casing.
If you want to, it probably did.
Give us
so, yeah, so maybe, I mean, you know, there's, really, I mean, there's some horrible, horrible ones, but I would like to reimburse myself.
So, this is the Maria region.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't mean I won't be able to pay you.
We got everything, like, in terms of, like, you repeating, and I think we got all the pertinent stuff.
This is an interesting question, right? It's interesting to be dead. And, I'll try it out. Isn't that crazy? Okay. She's so tall.
Yeah.
Oh my god, like the thing is that when it seems that it's last
really
year.
Oh my gosh, she's like a whole different person.
And I saw her at the clinic all the time last year when she'd come to session.
Oh.
But I didn't realize the difference until I saw it on the video. Because at the clinic, it was sort of different, right?
Yeah, then seeing it on the screen.
But then seeing her in the same room on those chairs and it used to fit her, and now she's an adult.
Oh my gosh, she's like a tall stair.
Talking about her period, that was like shocking.
And it was so shocking.
Because we coded her sessions 2 years prior. Last year. This girl, so we, you know, for us it was shocking to see her like, whoo!
Yeah. Yeah. She's really
tall. All grown up. She, well, she's, yeah, she's...
No, not what you guys see on the video. What is here?
You know, it's like, she's, and she's talking about,
yeah.
And you know, last time I saw her, she was like this little kid, and now...
No. What's on here is what's correct.
So we're gonna do a stair.
Yeah, I heard
Jessica, which was missing everybody's thoughts. I mean,
yes.
Grant. She goes, did you remember my class?
Don't worry about the hard
Everybody was thinking that, and
everyone
she's
thinking
the
what?
Everybody was thinking, yeah, the fair sounds great, but is it instead of the fair?
Yeah, that's what I was chit-chatting with Chris the whole time, and I was like, I'll do the fair if you drop the paper. I'm not going to do that, too.
Yes,
so of course, Jessica.
You're mine.
And I was thinking, Jessica, we got you. That's how we, that's like why, how I
it's 021202?
Yes, I actually just emailed the 2 emails. One of them I had,
yeah,
it was like 1,000 times.
I might have asked that
question. And this one, I just emailed you on like myself, but one of them I just was like,
yeah, you guys.
This is this, but that was the time where you said us.
Okay.
Not like one of the same, but I just emailed it to you again and I changed your file name. So now,
okay.
This is my last semester of the grades.
Yeah.
Next year I have no social because I don't have to take it. I got credit.
And you just emailed this one as well?
And I emailed you the...
I think I take Spanish.
You did? Okay, you have the...
Oh, yes.
We're going to take Spanish.
I'm
going to take Spanish class. I got Rosetta Stone. Do you Rosetta Stone on my computer?
No, I want to, but I can't because I have a Mac. Yeah, I mean, you have to buy it. I meant, I didn't know you were so old.
No, but my boyfriend has it.
Yeah,
but like, I love
these little fingers.
Yeah. I'm like the double tool talking about.
Not the evil kind, but the kind that, you know, Rosetta Stone is so expensive.
He's a hacker for good.
Yeah, Rosetta Stone is like $500, and I really want to learn Spanish so I can serve the underserved.
Right? We have.
So it's okay to steal.
It's for the greater good.
Like Robin Hood.
Right?
Wasn't he a hero?
They always justify the means. Alright, so. This is good.
So I couldn't print mine, so it's
I'll give it to you.
I know, I'm going to take
it.
I've got before damage. We're still looking for a program. Did you talk to anybody?
I need to email again. I don't know.
I can't vouch for this. He says he got like all the
languages.
I think if you guys find
it,
I don't know.
Maybe I don't know. I can't vouch for
it. All right.
So
I'd rather have some guidance
on
it. We send it off. I mean. And usually we'd send it to our Houston office where the main IT department is. So I have been waiting to hear back what they do. But I haven't worked tomorrow, so I'll call.
Okay, thanks.
I'm going to a heavy
and then I have one more other than the four. There are four damaged interviews, and we're trying to find a program that's going to salvage the data so we can transcribe it. But until those get fixed, we got one final interview. Who would like to do that? Well, don't all come at me. I mean, I just can't handle the enthusiasm.
And you can choose which paper you want to do.
Yes, we'll work it out.
And she said she doesn't care if you do the final earlier, but she said you might not do as good of a job on the final if you do it at midterm time because it's like thought.
So you can either do the final and the fair at the end.
Or a midterm and then the fair, which I think that's what I'm going to do because I don't want to do
it. Oh, here's the swimming concentration meeting, April 8th. So that's what I would do.
You ready?
Yeah.
You're going to have a swimming fair. Like your family balance.
Nice. 65.
Ooh, we have
eight. Okay, so thank you all for coming. As you all have heard, I just got SPSS at 4:31.
Nice.
So wasn't able to do anything with your data. I will try to send it sometime tomorrow. To all of you. I'll put it in an Excel file so you can all open it up and read it, unless you all have SPSS. So we don't have the actual, yeah.
I just had an idea. We could still discuss items. So
that's what we're going to do. That's why I didn't cancel the meeting.
I thought everybody didn't have this idea. I thought I was the only one having the idea.
Sylvia, what would we do with that?
What would you guys do without me?
I have such great ideas.
I mean, it would be helpful, sure.
Right, that's all. I didn't write it down. It's
I'm so glad you're here. I thought we were going to watch the video, but I didn't think about it.
So I have video. We can watch it if there's a particular portion you'd like to review. I'm open to entertaining any kind of questions about the items, how you code them, how you sort them, wording, definitions, the experience in general of Q-sorting. For most of you, this is a new experience. For three of you, it's an old experience. Actually, four of you, including Laura. So, because Leia has had some experience in supervision with Q-sorting. But, want to open it up for people to raise any questions, concerns. Usually this is the point in training where everybody has like 50 questions each. So if you don't have any questions, I'm a little skeptical, right? Remember when we trained for Linnae's data?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point in the training, after the very first Q sorting, there were like tons of questions.
Yeah. I blocked it.
Actually, if you want to hear podcasts of those training meetings, they're on my website. So, as are these meetings. Yeah. So, I think I just heard a pin drop.
It's like, can we, like, maybe if we, like, talk about, like, what people put, like, in the first column. Like, I can't remember, like,
yeah, kind of find them
now. Like, well, do you have your coding sheets with you?
Yeah, I have it. I'm
want to go in order?
Like, from 1 to 100?
And see if we kind of agree, and if we don't, then we
can you know, we don't have time to go 1 to 100.
I think
we
just like, the outer ones, like, the character.
Jason.
I mean, specifically, I don't remember which item number it is, but there was one or two that I remember asking something that required me to know what the child's problem was, like why they were, like what was supposed to be done in the session, and since I didn't know, I didn't know how to code that.
So where would you put it?
I ended up putting it in the middle, because I didn't know.
So not applicable.
Well, yeah.
But I think you're talking about the item that says child talks about relevant topics or relevant topics emerging in the session that we were talking about.
Yeah, something like that. There were two that I felt
one that
were like
the problem. Why the child's in therapy is discussed.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were like debating whether that having prior knowledge of the student has can help the reliability but I didn't explain it very well, but I guess because there's no mention of her problem in this session, in the session that we're coding, that means that it could hurt my reliability, really, to, because if everyone else says that, you know, if everyone else doesn't know and I had some prior knowledge of it and I coded it for some reason that way, it would actually hurt my reliability.
Yeah, but you have no prior knowledge of this case, right?
Well, I have prior knowledge with Cheyenne.
Oh, right.
But does that help my reliability or hurt?
Well, it would actually hurt you with respect to the rest of the group.
Right.
So the way I usually coded that item, Cheyenne or not, which the way I did it today, was more like common sense. Like the child this time is talking about growing up, having her period, having special time with her mother, interacting with her peers, having difficulty with her peers, which are pretty important topics. Like other sessions, she might just like be sitting down and literally not wanting to like explore anything or like just talking about, you know, more superficial things. So, right, I know, like I'm saying like that's how I usually like code that item, you know, if something really intense, like some meaty stuff comes up, you can kind of tell versus if the child's like, and I understand you have no comparison, but like in a session, you know, if you she's like sitting down and playing cards with you the whole time and I mean 7, 8, 5 versus, oh, I'm getting my period, I have my pad in my bag, my grandma, my mom.
So the way you're looking at it is more, you know, that that if there is stuff talked about, that must be part of what she's there for, part of the session, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, why, you know, mom or grandma or whoever has sent her.
Especially because if it's a psychodynamic session, there's never going to be like, what are we here to do? What are we here to talk about? Or what is your goal? Are you meeting your goal? Like, there's not going to be any of that.
Right.
You know, there's not an official description of what that's like. So, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Like,
well, you're right. We're not coding orientation.
I know, but I mean, in that case, you're never going to have the ability to code that item in any psychodynamic session if the model is meant for you not to know.
Well,
you know
what
I mean?
Found out, like, her diagnosis or anything. Never heard anything. Never got any information outside of the sessions that, like, you know, they never talked about that.
Yeah, but as you get familiar with this girl's issues and you hear more and more sessions, you're going to develop some kind of hypotheses and ideas.
Right.
What I'd like you to do is to try to forget about all that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said last week, each session is an entity unto itself. Try to ignore, have no memory, no desire for any previous sessions or what any expectations you might have about the future for this girl. Those 45 minutes are all your coding. If you don't hear anything about any kind of problems that she came in with, it should go in the middle pile.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not applicable. Now, Sylvia's making the point that, well, in this kind of treatment, it's usually going to be in the middle pile almost always. And that may be the case, but I want you to think about each session on its own terms, regardless of theoretical orientation, regardless of any prior knowledge that, you know, Sylvia and Dustin might have about this child. You know, just code what you see. That's all there is to it. I mean, it's that easy and that difficult. So, that's the kind of question I'm hoping you guys can generate in this meeting tonight. So.
But about the same thing then. So you mean like if you don't just look at the session with that item, let's say, you know, in terms of there is emotion that comes up. There is, you know, if a person is talking about my grandmother that died and is crying or is having a very distant reaction to it or whatever is happening, but, you know, just like watching the session and seeing like, is this important, is this not important to this person? Is she like just superficially avoiding topics or is she like approaching it?
Right.
Is that...
Yeah, that would count. I mean, but in this session, let's take this as an example. She talks about getting her period for the first time. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what she came in to talk about. I mean, you know that. Because this is not the first session. That's very obvious. And if she's getting her period for the first time, that means she didn't get her period last week or the week before or the week before that, so she couldn't possibly have come in with menstrual problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not her presenting problem. So you know already that whatever her presenting problems were, when she came to the clinic,
okay,
those problems probably were not discussed.
Okay, that's what I mean.
You know, so.
Because if it's an assumption, if not, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the way I was thinking about it, I was like, well, you know, is there adjustment problems? You know, so is this part of her adjustment? You know, like it's some, I think it's hard. So if I just like.
If you have any doubt at all, it's a middle pile.
So, I mean, to say this too, we haven't looked at it yet, but when I did my first three piles,
yeah,
I only had 15 in my uncharacteristic. And it was hard for me to get ones that I even felt remotely belonged in, like, most uncharacteristic. Like, that, I had trouble with that in coding this video.
Other people had that same, that there were not enough in the left pile, too many in the right pile, perhaps?
Yeah.
Right, too many in the right.
You had too many in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's just like part of the
learning. It's part of the mine were a little bit skewed to the right, but not much. Like at this point, I've done it so many times that like actually my piles kind of turn out right now, kind of like without thinking about it. And you'll see like as you do it more, like it'll be freaky sometimes. You'll be like, oh my gosh, that's like the exact number I needed in that pile. Okay, next. You know, so, but like, yeah, at first it might be like a little more dramatic. But yeah, mine was a little bit skewed to the characteristic set because there was a lot of stuff in the section. Like, it wasn't, you know, towards the end it got kind of rote with the game, but there was like a lot of meat in there and a lot of things that was happening, so.
I saw it this afternoon. I felt it was like the tale of two sessions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you had one session which was really very substantial and explored a lot of deep issues, and this girl was talking quite a bit on some topics that most of us would struggle being so forthright about. And then the other half of the session was a transformation in which she just went to playing a very structured game that involved no disclosures at all on her part. So, you know, the question as a supervisor would be like, what happened in that, what led to that shift, that abrupt shift in the session to go from such candid self-disclosure to rote playing of a very highly structured game? You know, it was very stark, the contrast. And, you know, the coding then is pretty much a coding of the first session. The second session is a little bit more boring to code. There's not as many items that would characterize the second part of the session.
So then what if you kind of...
Yeah, definitely.
It seemed like there were things that would happen in the first that were very characteristic, but in the second were and so then do they balance each other out and it goes to the middle?
Yes,
I'm glad that we brought that up last week because, you know, this session was a good example.
Yeah, you
of, like,
should listen to the podcast.
Like, from play,
okay, you did.
Child
we talked about that.
Is rote or repetitive. Like, that might have gone more in the middle. I might have put it. I put it more in like six because I didn't think she was so. But like something like that, you know. Or
I kind of was just kind of thinking by numbers, like when first and second. If I, you know, if it happened a lot, and then I tried to balance it out so that. But if it was like once and once, then I, you know.
Yeah.
So can we talk about the creative one that plays like?
Yeah.
How did, like, because I personally thought it was fairly creative. I mean, she created a timer out of, like, little bits
Play-Doh.
Of... Like,
yeah, she substituted another piece when they didn't have the game piece, right? So it was still pretty, like, fluid. So, yeah, it's true. They weren't playing Candyland. They were playing, like, a game where you had to pretend.
Yeah, I don't want to minimize what she did in the second half too much, but there was a stark difference in her response to the therapy.
I don't know what the number was anymore, so it might be hard. I think I put that in the set, and I don't know if anybody else remembers what they put there. Creativity of the play. Like the, I mean, out of memory, I don't know. I guess we can search the document.
Yeah.
Oh, can you search a PDF?
Does Charles play Lex Spontaneity? Is there another one?
Yeah, something like that.
Was one of them. And then she was playing charades too, which takes a certain amount of creativity.
Yeah, like when she was like doing like flying
up.
By the seat of your pants.
There's Child engages in make believe play.
Mm-hmm.
Which was right at 71.
Five legs to your pants.
Yeah.
Did she really accept with the dramatic training.
Yeah, that one I put more.
What number?
71. Mm-hmm. So child engages in make-believe play. Play stored characters, direction of child plays imaginatively or symbolically. For example, child treats a pencil as if it were a magic wand. Play stored uncharacteristic direction of play is concrete or rule-bound. For example, when playing a board game, child refuses an imaginary dialogue with the pieces of the game. And I'm pretty sure I put that more towards what I remember.
71.
71.
I put it in 6.
I put it in 4.
I've got 4.
Sounds like a middle pile.
We're all pretty good. That's right. That's 4 to 6.
So
yeah.
That kind of brings up another question. When you're calculating the liability, do you do it based on individual piles or like the group of piles or both? You know, so like, say Maria and I have a lot of the same that are within the characteristic section, but maybe they're kind of intermixed. Mm-hmm. Do you look at like the groups as well?
Well, I calculate Pearson correlations. Uh-huh. So. You give me your variable list,
right?
And it has the from 1 to 9. Each item is rated from 1 to 9, right? Mm-hmm. And then I correlate it with the next person's.
Right. So it wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't show necessarily if you were close. Like if you, like she and I had a lot of the same that were in these two piles, but they were switched maybe. It wouldn't show something like that.
Well, it would be a very minimal change in your reliability.
Oh, it would.
Okay. Like, for example, it's awesome if you both have the same card in exactly the same pile, if you both have the same cards in one, but that's not necessary for reliability. Like, if you're both kind of between 1 and 3, that's going to look good. But if one person has 1 and one person has 5, that's going to show up.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, so how we've conducted these coding team meetings in the past is that we examine discrepancies between you and your partner greater than or equal to 4.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So 1 and 5.
2 and
6. 2 and 6. Once or twice we had 1 and 9.
That's usually an error when that happens, that you like read the card the opposite way.
Did that happen with you and Kia?
Once Kia and I had a minus 2 reliability. It was like terrible. And I think that it had to do with me.
I think you reversed the whole thing.
I don't know. I think my cat jumped on them as I was putting them in the computer. And
or was it when you were on the airplane?
That could have been too. But I think the cat was responsible for them. I mean, I was, but like he did that. And then I took one pile and, you know, kind of put it in as like, you know.
Yeah, that's usually error.
I think the two of us were, we like went through like half of the thing and then we realized one of us like entered the wrong code.
Yes, I remember
that.
That
was me.
The whole time we were just like, what
are we thinking? How the Jeff hell? Was like, what is going on? That you were so mad.
So usually when you go through it and you cannot say why you did that, if you cannot say it like a bunch of times, usually that's not what you're coding.
So what else?
I have a question.
Yeah.
About item 70, child struggles to control feelings and impulses. It didn't really seem like she was really struggling, but she did seem a little bit all over the place. So I was wondering how would you code that?
Item
70?
Got four. So like it wasn't like something I really needed to point out about the session, but
like I felt she wasn't particularly struggling, meaning that she wasn't particularly caring to control them, and so I put on 3 because I thought it was more on the other.
Yeah, my sense is she wasn't struggling to control anything. She was pretty out there. You know.
Would you put that more in an uncharacteristic pile then?
I mean, I would even consider like a 2. She didn't appear to make any effort to restrain or regulate feelings.
I think I put that in 8.
Self-esteem. That's a good one. If we're all on the same page.
What number is
70? Probably one of mine is 9.
35.
What is it?
35.
35.
Yeah, I have 7.
I have 9.
Everybody 7 or higher?
I mean, I would have to consider 9. I mean, that was a major, major theme of this session, especially the first part of it, the first half of it.
And even, I think, in the second part when they're playing the game, there's also, like, another one I think it's interesting is the competition between mm-hmm. her and Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a component of self-esteem in that, too. Let me teach you how this is done. Let me show you. It was, I don't know, I felt it was very me, the ego.
I had a hard time with competitive items.
She's like, you can have 3 more guesses.
I think I put it in the middle.
I mean, it's more controlling than anything. Yeah. She's somewhat controlling in the situation.
I don't like it.
But that item, it says something like Braggs puts down. And he's like, well, Braggs.
She bragged.
Yeah.
Bragg.
Yeah.
What number is that item? Because okay. I remember I
seven, seven, didn't
seven.
Know
it would be that one.
Oh, confusion. But she also at one point, like, the therapist was something like, oh, then I'll lose. She's like, oh, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't seem like really competitive in terms of.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't seem that, you know, concerned with winning or anything.
Maybe that's an example where it's kind of both.
39?
6. Six. Simmons insists on winning her brags and she's smarter than the therapist. I
don't
think that was characteristic.
No,
I put 4. 8. 8.
Okay, so between 3 and 8, that's
a big difference.
That's quite
I would have put it in 5.
Mm-hmm. What about the beginning when she says, you know, you're typical? I'll let you guess that. You know, the whole, when they first start, I don't even remember exactly what they were talking
what
about.
What the plan was for
right.
the day.
For the plan was for the day.
But is that competitive or is that more like control?
Yeah. That's more like
yeah.
controlling.
Yeah.
I see it. Competing implies winning and losing. And her guessing, it was not like a winning or losing. It wasn't in a game format.
That's true.
Competitive rivals too.
But controlling, yes.
Is there a part about controlling?
There's one about demanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one about demanding. I don't know if that quite fits this stuff.
How do people feel about demanding?
I think she's a little bit.
That's what I thought she was.
She stopped the therapist at one point and corrected her with something. With the instructions on how to do something.
That was
me. But it was only once.
Was it?
Yeah, but 16.
I thought it was at the end when she doesn't want to end the session. You know, she was like, can I show you another one? Can I show you this? Just one. And Sarah was sort of like, why don't we keep it for next time? Oh, and she did
mm-hmm.
it anyway.
That seemed
mm-hmm.
more like
sort of
a long,
yeah. Everyone should have put that
not so much
yeah.
demanding.
A
she just didn't want to leave.
But maybe
yeah,
not at number one, but somewhere up there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which one is that? Which one? Oh, where she just kind of lingers and kind of refuses to end session. How difficult is it? 25. 8. 7. 9.
I put 7, but I think I made the mistake of letting my knowledge of the child color my perception.
I put in 8.
I put 9.
9 would be acceptable.
Okay.
It's like she was there even after the therapist left.
Yeah. I mean, it was out of control.
Yeah.
How about this side of the room? Where'd you guys put it?
I put 7. 7.
Stephanie, where'd you put it? What?
I don't have my good things.
Oh, okay. Lay. 8. Yeah.
So what made the difference between 8 and 9?
I mean, I guess I think there were other issues in the session, other process issues that took on more salience. I didn't formally do the cue sorting, but just my memory of the session, what stands out? that stands out pretty strongly, but it was one of the top five things that stood out in the session. Possibly, and if I actually did the Q sorting, that item might end up in pile nine, but just off the top of my head, I would say pile eight.
Right. And on questions like that, that clearly they talk about one specific part of the session, like if that exists, it means it's got to be pretty strong, right? The fact that it even exists in the session, you know, like, thing, right? So if those things are probably always going to be probably eight or nine, or one or two.
Yeah, or if she just has a little bit of trouble leaving, that might be like a seven.
Right.
Or if she, like, you know, has a temper tantrum, then that would just be nine.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help decide what's an eight or what's a nine.
Yeah,
for me.
Like,
so I've had patients throw temper tantrums at the end of a session, and that would be a nine.
Okay.
But what about the other way around, like when it's a one? When it runs out at 40 minutes?
You remember my... Well,
Yeah.
There are children who just sort of say, okay, and just leave.
Oh, right, yeah.
You might see something like that. Yeah. you might see that. Stay tuned. So, you know, yeah, that would be on the other end.
Yeah, I think that would be like a one or a two.
Or they want to leave ahead of time, and they're like way too anxious, and they're
can
like,
go?
In the end now?
Exactly.
What time is it? Is it time to go yet? Oh, I don't see it.
I've had patients with separation anxiety disorder just say throughout the session, I want to go now, I want to go now, I want to go now. That child's not having difficulty leaving the session.
Yeah. But if they're just sort of like compliant and they just sort of leave without, you know, that's like a five.
You had a question.
Yeah, for item 52, therapist makes explicit statements about the end of the hour, upcoming weekend, holiday. So, like, if the therapist wants the child know, it's time to clean up because their time is, like, about 10. Is that any time the therapist says, like, okay, we should clean up now, we're going to be ending in a couple of minutes, like, would that be characteristic? Would that be a line? Like, I wasn't sure.
She did mention it several times.
It was a nine.
52
I think that she tried to get it.